Welcome to the Anywhere Office.
Hi, this is Phil Montero of theanywhereoffice.com, and I'd like to welcome you to our podcast. This episode is part of our 13-part series, Telecommuting in the 21st Century, How to Implement or Improve Virtual Teams and Flexible Work in Your Organization. Our panel includes myself, Jeff Zabar, founder of ChiefHomeOfficer.com, who will be facilitating the discussion, and Rachel Hastings, vice president of WFCResources.com. Today in Part 6, we'll look at the ground rules for telework and give you an overview of some essentials to discuss with HR and your employees to make sure everyone is on the same page. Mr. Chief Home Officer, you have the floor.
Now, if we look at, we're thinking about getting into telework. We're thinking about getting some programs going. We have some tips here. One that we don't have, for example, is it's really almost the second to the last tip, what space, hours, family setting will be acceptable. But we don't make it clear in this bullet that one thing that many organizations have put out there and I think needs to be said. And Rachel, you mentioned, we mentioned earlier, the fact that a child may be sick or a senior, you know, an elder in the household may be ill. A lot of people think telework equals family balance. So if I'm able to work from home, my child doesn't have to go to preschool or daycare that day. Or if I'm able to work from home full time as a teleworker, I can take my kid out of childcare and save that money. The organizations that I've spoken to have long said telework is not an alternative for childcare or senior care. So it's not that if the child's sick, look, I left my home office about an hour ago to pick up a sick child. I got a call from school, and I've always told anyone I'm on the phone with, if I get a call, I look at caller ID, and if it doesn't say my children's, you know, middle, elementary, or senior high school, then I'm not getting off the phone. But if that's the call that's coming in, I get off the phone and take that call because, in this case, my child was sick, and I'm able to do that, and that's understandable. But talk about some of the other rules going in. Rachel, take a stab at some of these. I keep saying that way. But, look at some of these and some of the rules that we see here, and what else do you see going on as far as some of the ground rules going into a telework program?
Right. I think the piece about equipment is just tremendously important because everybody wants to know what equipment am I getting, what goodies am I getting to do my work, what printer, what smartphone, who's going to pay for my internet connection, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Because if they find out that somebody down the hallway in another department is getting a bunch of things that they see, they start seeing them as privileges and not work tools, and you get a lot of competition, lack of parity, and just, you know, you run into issues there. So I think that's very, very important to establish those criteria and to just be very, very clear about that. Also, that the first point here, all employees might not be eligible, no meaning no. There are times when you're literally going to have to say to somebody, your personality, your performance rating, or your job type mean that, and you do have to, as Phil said, you've got to explain very succinctly why, give a reason, not just I don't feel like it or you're not my favorite. Explain to them clearly what's going on. And then if this is somebody who desperately, you know, wants to reduce a horrendous commute, but they're in a job that really requires face time in that office, then this is where your coaching and your employee development is going to come in, because you might be then orienting that person towards another part of the organization where they could better develop their career and their ability to do so. So I think that's just incredibly important. I think working with both a policy that has been generated through various parts of the organization in partnership, as well as an employee proposal, is very important. So your employee is going to propose which days, which hours, if necessary, which schedule, which tasks they're going to take care of, what their availability is to come into the office on their telework day as an emergency, how people are going to contact them, what emergency contact details they're going to leave, for example. I think it's very important to give the employee the job of proposing what they want to do.
There you go. Phil?
Really, I think what we're talking about here is a lot of transparency and discussions, and I think that's really a big part of the ground rules that you need to set up is to really discuss these things openly with your employees and make sure everyone's on the same page and has a shared vision for how this is going to work. That's why is the importance of often doing some kind of a pilot, because you're not going to get this all right from the beginning, and I don't think you should necessarily expect yourself to. As this goes, you're going to kind of fine-tune it over time, and so unfortunately what I see sometimes companies do is they start working and they hit a little speed bump here or there, and they're ready to scrap the whole thing and say it doesn't work. I think you need to fine-tune and develop this over time, and by employees working this way and then coming back to you and did this agreement work, and as you mentioned, having a maybe an agreement between the manager or a policy or a handbook, I think having some of those things in place, that's part of that planned approach or that strategy that can really lend to this. And I think setting up communication guidelines is something I often talk about with virtual teams and managers is, things like turnaround time, what's the turnaround time expected for things like voicemail and email, and what hours of availability, I think that's mentioned there too, having those kind of communication guidelines. What type of communication are we going to use for what type of collaboration or report writing or that type of decision making? I think by setting up or thinking through some of those things, it helps again everyone be on the same page.
I used to write a column for Network World magazine, and one of the things the column was on telework, and one of the things I learned about, we talk about staying in touch and turnaround and communication, and we have a question out there that came in and said, how does a manager keep good track of many workers working from home from different days? The Department of Energy, again, the federal government as far back as the late 90s into the early 2000s, was very aggressive. Department by department, it wasn't holistic across the Fed, but department by department, and the Department of Energy was very aggressive in. And one of the things they set up, for example, was a telework contact sheet, where on the days that Phil is working from home or the days that Rachel is working from home, they have a sheet that they fill out, and it says just generally, say Phil is an every Thursday work at home, he would check the box, I work from home every Thursday, and then he would put in the information of what hours he generally works when he's working from home, and the contact information, assuming you don't have a PBX or a phone system that enables calls to automatically forward to that home phone line or to the cell or whatever the case may be, the different information that enables the person to be kept in touch with. And then I think one other thing to keep in mind here also is the fact that telework really should be voluntary. Aside from, say, a company leaving, you say, okay, Phil, you either move with us or you can stay back and telework. Aside from a situation like that, you really need to make sure that it's voluntary, that people don't get thrust into a situation they don't want to do, and that an organization doesn't embrace something that it really doesn't feel suits its business purposes. It's really something to keep in mind along those lines.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Anywhere Office Podcast. For more information and other tips on working from anywhere, visit us at theanywhereoffice.com. Join us next week for part 7 of our series on telecommuting in the 21st century, where we'll look at steps for successful implementation and how to get started.